Good morning and welcome to Project Joy. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Shall I kick us off with our assignment from yesterday?
Yes, please. Let's find out what happened.
Only when we're no longer afraid do we begin to live. That's the kind of information ego wants to run with. You're afraid. That means you aren't really living. Presented as if it's our fault that we've been bamboozled by it. Without allowing ego-centered karmic conditioning self-hate to get hold of the process, allow yourself to consider the magnitude of the statement. If we're afraid, we're not truly living. We're trading our one and only life for the false promises of ego safety if we give our lives over to it. Today, consider how seldom ego has delivered on its promises and how often life has provided everything without asking anything in return.
Gosh, there's just so much in that. Isn't there? Mm-hmm. There's just so much in that. But it blames us that we've been bamboozled by it, that we trade our lives for something that it never delivers on. And what was that last line? That was the...
We're trading up for the false promises of ego's safety.
Yeah.
If we give our lives over to it.
Yeah. Gosh. All right. Well, eager to see what happened.
Yes, me too. Well, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my. It's Kim from Vashon. And I've been having a little workshop for the last week of being in the queue and not being called, and it's been very interesting. So I'm very surprised to get picked, and thank you, and good morning.
And yes, well, you probably knew it was going to happen sooner or later, right? But the suspense.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the suspense.
Well,
yeah.
The suspense.
Talk about being present, huh?
And, yeah, I'm conditioning going yammer, yammer, you know. How come they didn't get me? You know, I have something important. Anyway, so what I wanted to comment on was I wanted to actually check back with you because several months ago I called in about my daughter going through a very, very hard time. And every day sitting in the queue, I can fit it to the assignment. So that works out, right? Because it's all about
Oh, yes.
Being
oh,
present,
absolutely.
Right,
so, right.
My fear, or where ego had taken me with my fear, was that she's never going to get better. She's, you know, this is going to go on and on. You know, it's all about her. And finally, when all the voices ended and I brought it back to myself and followed your advice, which was your encouragement, which was the only thing you can do is the unconditional love. And mm-hmm. nobody wants to be fixed by anybody else. As soon as I went there, every single time, for every second of being with her, everything shifted. Everything shifted,
oh,
and it was extraordinary. And, you know, and it was so, I mean, the fear, you know, kept me locked into that process for a long time. And then finally I was done suffering. And, and I just... opened it up to, you know, the mantra, I choose unconditional love unconditionally, and
mm-hmm.
everything shifted. And at some point recently she said, Mom, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because you're really helping me.
Oh, a mother's dream come true.
It was extraordinary. And I, you know, was welling up with tears and, you know, and I just said, well, you know, it's kind of this practice that I'm doing, and I just love you so much. And I just wanted to report that it works. This works.
Yes, it works. And it, you know, it's everything about that. It's like the quote, everything about that is so important for us to realize that we turn to conditioned mind. Because, let's just talk about you, okay? So you turn to conditioned mind because you love your daughter. And you've been conditioned to believe that that's where you're going to be able to find the answers and be the person and make the difference, all of that stuff. And it's all a lie. All that was happening was it was keeping you paralyzed in fear, being in relationship with it instead of with your daughter, and therefore incapable of offering her anything helpful, not to mention not being able to be there for yourself, right? So you've been practicing. Let's give the credit where the credit needs to be given, okay? You've been practicing, and you got to the point of realizing, this is not working. I'm going to do what practice is encouraging me to do, which is to put my attention on choosing unconditional love. And everything changed. So it's one of those, nothing was different, right? Your daughter still had going on what she had going on. The life circumstances were exactly the same, but everything was completely different because you were choosing unconditional love instead of ego fear. It is
absolutely
a true miracle story. Yes.
It's a miracle story. And I mean, there's part of conditioning wants to grab on and just say, well, it's not going to last. You're going to backslide.
Oh, sure.
I just want to slap it.
Oh, of course.
And say, I can always choose unconditional love.
Right. We wish it were real enough to slap, right? But
yeah.
It's not. And, that could be proof for us that it really isn't real. It's just a voice, and you can't slap a voice. But we have the answer to that. We can always choose unconditional love.
Right.
That is fabulous. I am so happy for both of you and us.
Thank you.
We got to hear the story.
Thank you. Well, and you helped it all unfold. And I will give any parent who is having similar difficulties, there was one open air, and it's April 29th, 2003, in which you really spoke to a mother who was having trouble with her teenage daughter, and you laid it out step by step. And I think I listened to that 20 times in a row. So if anybody's out there, that's a good thing to go back to.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
That's great. Oh, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Yeah. Go happy. Paddle happy.
Okay.
Yesterday, it's all the boat stuff from yesterday. Now my new thing is paddle happy.
Paddle happy.
There we go.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks, Bye-bye. Kim. Bye. Oh, my God. Those kinds of stories you could barely sit in your chair for.
Right.
You
wonder where to find the energy, right? The energy seems to have wandered off somewhere, and it's not available. And how do we get the energy back? Well, participate, listen to a conversation like that, and here we are. Listen to that story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's sympathetic joy, right?
Yes.
There's such a welling of appreciation and laughter and just that. There is no other word for it. I can't find any other word for that experience of being so one with happiness for that. That is caused because of someone's experience of the intelligence that animates in that way.
Yes. Yeah. So we could say being so happy for someone else, but of course when we stop and look, it's like, well, yes, I'm happy for them, and boy, I'm really happy for me too.
Yes. Yeah. It's a not two but one.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And not one but two.
That's right. Wow. And experienced in that extraordinary way of connection.
It's beautiful.
Yes, and it's truly the life experience when we do the assignment from yesterday, when we don't give over our lives to ego. There's such a way of experiencing the unconditional.
It's right there. Right?
Yeah.
It's not like we have to go anywhere or do anything. It's just shift that attention, and there we are. Yeah. We're paddling
All right.
with happy.
You're paddle happy. Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. This is Greta.
Hello,
hey, Greta.
Hi. That last call was pretty amazing. And I guess one thing I noticed just being on the call this morning is just that whole assignment from yesterday and how that plays out when you're in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, you know, it's this thing that we get talked out of putting ourselves in the queue by conditioned mind, keeping us in fear and making us small. And then if we're in the queue, life is giving us everything and conditioning can't give us anything if we're really here for it.
Yes. Which is why conditioning then would want to come in with, well, how come you're not getting picked? You know, you put yourself in the queue and now you don't get to be on. So it's got a struggle to try to insert something into that human life oneness that happens in those kinds of situations.
Yeah, yeah. And even, I will say, just having the morning radio show, so I guess the first thing is whether we choose to listen to this thing we've committed to. And then another aspect mm-hmm. of participating is putting ourselves in the queue. And mm-hmm. what I've really noticed is this, just the way the walking in the rain gets through and soaks you, being on the calls every morning is just opening up so much. I can, instead of going with conditioned mind, the comment that you just made was possible, I just am going to the place of compassion for everyone that calls in and their experiences, and more I can choose to go with whatever people are saying and open up to that, and the dimension mm-hmm. or the depth of my experience of participating is just growing exponentially.
Yes. Yes. You know, Greta, we talk about that, as you know, in facilitator training and that sort of thing, and for old-timers being on retreat, how in the beginning when we're lost in conditioned mind, you know, the only part that matters is when somebody's talking to me. I'm in guidance or I'm talking with the facilitator. So now I'm really here and paying attention as best I can. And then when other people are interacting, I can just sort of drift off and wander around in conditioned mind and that sort of thing, believing that I'm still here, but of course I'm not. Right? And then as practice deepens, we realize what you're pointing at, that whatever conversation is happening with anybody is for me. And so I'm present with that in the same way I would be present if the facilitator were talking to me, right? Because the facilitator is talking to me. And everybody's experience, everybody's life experience is my life experience if I'm present for it.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I see about that, just going back again to the assignment, is I didn't know what was going to be dropping in for me. I didn't know what I was going to get from the call. But I know by the experience I have with practice that the more attention I'm giving, so the more I'm participating, the more that there is for me, in the sense that I just get to open up to what life is offering at, you know, deeper and deeper levels or newer experiences.
Yes, yes, precisely. Yeah, which is why practice is never dull or boring. The only thing that's dull or boring is ego, and that's because it's repetitious, and life never is. Insight, awareness never is. It's never repetitious.
Yeah, exactly. So I just have this deeper and deeper appreciation for what we're doing collectively, and I know it's all about all of us participating, and
yes.
I just it's just this thing, this way that I am so appreciative of starting my day to be able to really touch into this place. I don't have to just start my day and go, oh my God, what do I have to do today and how am I going to get it done? I'm able to just open up to, and the equivalent that I'm seeing in other areas of practice is just being able to expand my awareness to what's available to me. What is life offering me? What is possible today?
Yes, yes. And with that, now, of course, I know people in other parts of the country or the world have this at different times. And so depending on how committed we are to this practice, one thing a person can do, so we're now in June, we're way into June, right? We started this somewhere in January, I think. So a person could get up in the morning first thing and listen to a previous show. Listen to the first show, the second show, the third. Start through in that way. Do your morning meditation, your yoga, whatever it is that you do. Do your practices first thing in the morning to have the experience that you're talking about, so that I don't get up and wander around waiting for conditioning to frame my day for me and set the tone for me. Right. And then it, depending if you're on the East Coast or if you're in Europe, you know, you join us for lunch or you join us for tea and like that. But the practices come first, because, as you say, that's what's going to set me up to have a day, to have a life that is the one that I actually want.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say that, you know, we've been offered morning practices in the past, but and those are things that, you know, that we can read the Transform Your Life quotes or whatever. But this has just taken it to such a new level, and I think it's just the
yes.
Sangha participation and the support
yes.
from you and Ashwini that have just deepened our conversation for all of us. And that's what's so amazing
yeah.
about it, is we're all just kind of floating, as we were using that metaphor, paddling or floating along, and yet these waves of insight and support are washing over us, and we can't help but get wet. It's just no matter
right.
what we do, we can't help but get wet.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you, Greta. That's great.
Thank you both so much. I do appreciate it deeply.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Greta. Our theme seems to be sympathetic joy, Sherry. All of us
yes.
just bathing in joy. And I think that was sort of what the intuition around Project Joy is, right? That if we put ourselves in that place of being tuned to awareness, the more we do that, the more awareness we have, the more we project life rather than ego.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and what we do is what we get.
Yes.
Yeah, what we get, what we give is what we have. So
yes.
starts here, and moves out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer calling from Sault Ste. Marie.
Ooh, I think, can you go off a speaker or your computer or something? Because you're really in echo,
that?
Actually.
Echo, actually. Is that better?
Yes, yes. Now,
okay.
Now. Oh, wait. But,
is that better?
Ashwini, are you hearing echoes? And
I am hearing echoes. I know, I heard Jennifer, but I didn't hear anything else other than, is that better, echoed several times.
Yeah. So do you have two things on, like is your phone on and the computer on or any of those kinds of things?
How about that? Is that better?
Much better.
Yes. It still sounds like you're down in a well, but at least we can understand you.
Hi,
oh,
Sherry.
No.
This is Jennifer from Sault Ste. Marie.
All right.
Am
you know
I okay?
What? It's not going to work, Jennifer. No, actually not. I wish, but I don't know what it is, but it no.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Could you try calling back in again?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. It's just technology is not with us this morning.
No problem. I'll try again.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I look for you in the queue, Jennifer.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Here is our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hey, Karen. Hi. Here. Myself off a speakerphone.
Much better. Thank
just,
you.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just so grateful for the call. I've loved every bit of it and related to every bit of it. And I think I, too, have gone to a place of sympathetic joy. And when I first got on, I was looking at the quote and what have I seen practicing with it yesterday. And a lot of things seem to be speaking to me about adequacy, and fear somehow being I'm not adequate to life or whatever. And so there's been this this beautiful just staying with every day, and practice is everything to me right now, because that practice is moment by moment giving me a beautiful life. And it's about adequacy. It's about everybody's adequacy. It's about unconditional love. And just staying with that, because otherwise, for me right now, it's just so easy to go into fear when I get into the future. And there's no reason to do that, because so far, nothing's scary. Everything's okay. And there's just a lot of love and adequacy and beauty. And talk about life coming forth with things. I'm just amazed at what life is orchestrating. I mean, it really, truly, every need is being met, even more than I could ask for, just like, so there, that's what I saw in the quote.
Oh, that's wonderful. Karen, what I'm reminded of when you say that, a place that it's easy for us to forget because we love. So the way ego uses our love against us is really cruel. So we love people and we want to help them and we want to take care of them. We want them to be happy. We want, and what it's easy to forget is that they are being held in the same unconditional love that we are accessing. So if in any given moment they don't seem to know that, they've turned to conditioned mind or they've just slipped into unconsciousness for a moment, it doesn't negate the fact that they are being held in the same way and that they are as capable as we are of choosing the unconditional in any moment. And we don't know for anybody when that moment is going to be.
No, we sure don't. And there's been a huge thing I've been looking at around that. And just when you said that what I've really been looking at and what I have said actually in my life to someone that's having a big difficulty is, I don't want to feel sorry for you, because that just doesn't feel respectful to me. And so when you're having a hard time, I just want you to know I love you and I'm here for you and I'm going to be of assistance the best I can and just that you're not going to go through this alone. But there's something about that process of feeling sorry for someone that is just, it is like, for me, it's just a trip into suffering and fear, and I'm not doing that. I'm giving that up.
Yeah, and it's true. It's disrespectful. It doesn't seem like it until we get to that understanding that you're expressing. But it says, I'm okay. I'm actually in a better place than you are. I can handle this. You can't. And boy, that's not a message that we ever want to have for ourselves or anybody else.
No.
And so to stay in that place of respect and that, I know you're equal to this. I know you are. And I love you. Gosh, that's so it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I'll assist in
really
any
helpful.
Way I can. Yeah, I'll assist in any way I can, but I'm not going to take a single thing away from you because this is your show.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in not doing that and not feeling sorry because maybe that's been a habitual pattern of, or feeling bad. If I don't feel bad and I don't feel sorry for, then really I'm just keep getting turned back to the moment, back to life, because I have to look for, okay, what do I do? What do I turn to in that moment? And it just turns me back to love, and it turns me back to adequacy and away from fear and away from conditioning and away from stories and thoughts and all that. And it's just been great.
That's so helpful, Karen. It's such a clear expression of what happens to us, right? So, okay, I'm not going to feel bad and I'm not going to feel sorry. So what do I do? What you've laid out for us is, I'm going to turn my attention to life, to what is so.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose unconditional love. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to look to the moment for guidance. That's what I'm going to do instead of those conditioned behaviors that don't serve anything except ego.
Yeah. And in that place of turning to life, and, because there is that just sort of a, there's that just space there, that sort of blank slate, I guess you'd say, blank.
Yeah.
That's where all the fun and goodness and joy and, whatever, that's where it all drops in. None of it drops in from anything else.
Yeah.
And that is where a beautiful life is going to come out of all of this. And I just see that so clearly.
And it's the best, the most loving thing we can do for someone who is suffering and struggling.
Yeah, it really is.
To be the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just one more thing before I let you go. Because in that situation, what we're conditioned to do is believe that our egocentric focus on ourselves and how bad we feel and how sorry we are and how sad we are is somehow loving the other person. But when we step back from it, we see that, in fact, it is just egocentric. So I'm going to be with somebody who's struggling. I actually want to be here so I can be with them, not indulging my own little egocentric orientation to conditioning.
Yes, and anything other than that, I think you've already said this, it makes it all about me. And it's not that I'm not getting cared for. I mean, that's really important, too, for me to care for this being right here.
Oh,
but
it's all the same thing.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all the same thing. Because if you're caught in that ego indulgence of, oh, I feel so bad. Oh, this, I'm so sad. This is so awful. You're not cared for. Nobody else is cared for. But when you're coming from love, you're cared for. Everybody else is cared for. It's just kind of the worst it can be for everybody or the best it can be for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's our choice in every moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
well, thank you.
Deep appreciation to both of you
for
doing this. It's the lifesaver.
And to you. And to you for the sincerity of practice. It's inspiring.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Deep
gesture.
Okay,
bye-bye. Wow. That was just such an important conversation for all of us Right, Sherry, and the thing that struck me the most about it is to recognize that we are all embraced in the by the unconditional, that
yes.
that is what we all are, and that's what we're held in, and to
yes.
make that movement of pity or inadequacy is to deny that that's what is holding all of us. It's
yes.
a dismissal of the intelligence that animating all.
Yes.
It's a refusal to recognize that. And to be able
yes.
to get to that place of saying, well, everybody is adequate, and I don't have to feel sorry for them, but respect that they're a node of intelligence going through the process of awakening, hell in love. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, it's a whole different orientation, isn't it?
Well, the thing
yeah,
that
instead
struck me
of
about that,
saying, go ahead.
Well, it's just that love is, instead of pity, is actually such an equalizing force, because it
yes.
recognizes the suchness of the other person, or the Buddha nature of the other person. Doesn't mean we don't assist. It doesn't mean we don't support. It doesn't mean any of those things.
Right.
But it's yes. such a recognition of I see the God in you.
Yes. Yeah, we can. Yeah. It's either gosho or namaste, isn't it?
Yes.
But what's authenticity, right? Authenticity is recognizing and honoring authenticity. And that is such a powerful place to come from. You know, in that situation, no matter what difficulty people are going through, coming from that place is coming from power.
Yes. An ability to access that power in a way that's helpful if
yes.
I'm being moved to assist.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So
well,
good.
It brings us wonderfully to our next assignment. I just love the synchronicity of it. And it says, the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love.
Mm.
I think we can safely question the notion that the world is dangerous. People under the sway of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate can surely be a danger to themselves and others. But does that make the world a dangerous place? Perhaps the danger in such an assumption is that we attempt to make the world less dangerous rather than focusing on ending ego's ability to endanger us and others. The world is too small for anything but love. I bet we can all agree with that. Today, practice bringing all attention to this here now for an experience of the safety and love in presence regardless of circumstances. Record and listen.
Mm. Yeah, well, those do go rather nicely together, don't they? Kind of another step along the how of
yes.
that choice. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank
Most
you,
grateful.
Sherry. Deep gusho. Paddle happy.
Deep gusho. Yeah, paddle happy, exactly. All right. Good Lord willing, talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.